Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish the book I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast for everyone to listen to. And today I'm going to be reviewing a book which was suggested in the Goodreads group called SFBRP Listener Group on goodreads.com. And there's a thread there which people say, hey, books I would like to see reviewed. Should be books I would like to hear reviewed, but whatever. And I generally get through some of those suggestions. I think the Malazan Book of the Fallen, that was suggested in there as well, more recently, and in some other places as well. But recently, there's people have been asking for some Roger Zelazny and Octavia Butler. Octavia E. Butler. I realize I've never... I have read Octavia Butler before, but I've never reviewed any for the podcast. So, and some people said, hey, you should check out Dawn, the Exogenesis trilogy, or the Lilith's Brood, I think it's also called that too. And so I thought I will check it out. And now I know that I had read some Octavia E. Butler before. I wasn't quite sure if I'd read this book, but it did come out. Looking here on the Goodreads page, it does say first published in 1987. And so considering I started my science fiction reading journey in the 90s, early 90s, this would have been in the library when I was a kid and getting books out of the library, which is fair enough. And so I started listening to this. I got listened to this as an audiobook. I got spent the credit on Audible, and narrated by Aldrich Barrett. And it starts off pretty good. So it starts off quite kind of a bit like mysterious. Someone wakes up, someone called Lilith, wakes up in a room, and she knows that she's woken up in the same room before, and she was very frightened last time, and then she gets put back to sleep, and then she wakes up again in the room, and sometimes she's around for a few days, sometimes for a few months or for a few weeks, and it's very freaky because she doesn't know who is holding her or what's going on. She's just in this room, and what's happening here? Now, it becomes clear quite early on in the book, so no spoilers here, that there was an apocalypse on Earth, a nuclear apocalypse. We wiped out the world, a few people survived, and the setup for this is that all of the people who survived on Earth were going to die anyway because there was just too much radiation. There was nobody, there was no real safe place to be. And some aliens at the time were watching the Earth and said, hey, we should save these humans who are left over down there on Earth. And they do. And Lilith is one of those people who are saved. And this is a... And then they've been put into, suspended animation. And now the idea is, hey, let's resettle the Earth with let the humans resettle the Earth. Because most of the radiation has died down in some places. Should be healthy enough. We'll do some gene sequencing in them to make them be a bit more hardy, that they don't get cancer so quickly due to radiation and things like that. And they'll be fine. This is going to work out. This is going to be good. So it's one of those things that you go, ah, this was written in 1987, but it's about, the nuclear apocalypse. And now, let me put it this way. In the 90s, when I was reading all the science fiction, and that's why I mentioned this before, is that, nuclear stuff happening was just, it was just par for the course. There was always that kind of stuff going on in the books. But then, of course, after 1989, you realize, oh, end of the Cold War. Nuclear apocalypse just wasn't a thing that was then just presumed, oh, let's just presume that this is going to happen at some point, and so we don't need to say why it happened or anything. It's just, presumed that the mutually assured destruction kicked off, and it all happened, and now here we are afterwards. And but now I think it seems to be that, that has to kind of be explained again in science fiction, I think, for a long time. But then you get these novels, and I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, where you get these novels which is a bit like, oh, this is definitely a post 9/11 science fiction book that you can just presume terrorism in a way that, wasn't explained before. And I think there's probably other books. Now, of course, with climate change, it used to be like, oh, right, this is a book set in the future and the climate is different. And now, because climate change is such a big thing, it's sort of like, yeah, this is set in the future and, the climate is fucked. Let's just take that as a given. We don't have to explain climate change or global warming or sea level rising. We can just tell stories in that world. And this Dawn book seems to be kind of like on the trailing edge of the, oh, we don't need to explain nuclear holocaust, nuclear apocalypse. We can just go with it. We'll just presume that everyone understands that that's something that could happen. Whereas I think the science fiction, no, it wouldn't be there. So So I started listening to this audiobook, and it started off, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is interesting. And then I was like, oh, you know what? What I reckon should happen with this person in this situation, you know what I reckon should happen? This should happen. And, you know, then like a few minutes later or a few pages later, if I was actually reading this as a paper book or an ebook, and that thing did happen. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then, oh, what should happen is this. And I reckon this is going to happen. And then it did happen. And then after about five or six cycles of me going, oh, I know what should happen here and it happening, or oh, I think I know what's going to happen here, I realized, yeah, I've read this book before. And it was one of those dawning realizations. I was like, oh, yeah, this is one of those books that I remember. Now I'm reading it again. I kind of remember reading it the first time. And I kind of remember being a bit disappointed with it the first time I read it. And I was thinking, well, maybe I missed something the first time round. Maybe this just wasn't, you know, it didn't really grab me the first time round, but I missed something. And then the second time through, I'm like, oh, this was amazing. There was so much stuff. I was too young to pick up when I read it when I was like 17 or 15 or whatever it is. And now, you know, the view of the world is a bit, I'm a bit more mature. And this is a bit more sort of like, it's a more of a classic science fiction. Oh, it's not so much classic. Maybe you could call it a classic, but I don't really know where this would sit in the pantheon of 1980s science fiction, except that Audible Frontiers did pick it up and went, hey, we should have an audio version of this, because I think it dropped out of publication for a while and then was collected together into a single novel. Like there was like a trilogy and they were collected together, you know, so it's got like Apache, what do you say, publication history. And it was Audible Frontiers were like, hey, let's just get this out there. And people spend credits and money on it, and I did. But it is one of those things that I just go, oh, actually, no. When I got to the end of this book, I was like, oh, I have read it before. And only when I was like halfway through did I remember reading it before and remembering, oh, this was the one I was kind of disappointed in. And then I got to the end, and you know what? I was kind of disappointed in it again. And it's not to say it's a bad book. It's very nicely written. There's some really fun ideas in there. But it's just one of those books where I just go, ah, it wasn't... that I was expecting more. Now, I realize now that this is actually book one in a trilogy, and I don't think I realized it was quite so much. I realized it was a first book in a trilogy. So I think if I actually carried on reading it, maybe more things would happen in the overall story, which would make me think, oh, yeah, this has got a great payoff at the end. But the payoff at the end of this book, while nice, while clever, while interesting, like, wasn't really, you know, like, overall, I didn't feel the book that was that satisfying. There is some interesting stuff going on here. Because I said before, it's these aliens called the... Quickly pop over to Wikipedia page again, although I want to not read down because the novel... It's a synopsis for all of the three books. I've got to make sure I only get this top thing. So the title character, Lilith, awakens centuries later from stasis on an Onkali. So the aliens are called Onkalis. And they decide, hey, what we should do, like you say, the Onkalis, let's repopulate the Earth with humans. And also with us, we're going to stay. Some of us are going to stick around here, and also we're going to take humans out on our ship, out into the greater galaxy on the bigger trips that go around there. And some of us on Kali are going to go out into space, and some of us are going to stay here on Earth. And we're going to send some humans out into space and have some of them back here on Earth as well. And you're like, okay. But it becomes quite clear that the Onkali are just so far ahead of humans in many different ways, especially with like. Genetics and breeding and all that kind of stuff, and also just intelligence and, you know, you're like they're kind of less developed in some ways. The things that make humans humans, like being able to lie and a bit of creativity and a lot of that kind of stuff, they don't have so much. But, you know, they have perfect memories, they never lie, all these different kind of things. And what becomes very clear quite soon is that the humans are so low level to them that they might as well be, and I made this note as I was reading through, it's like humans are pets. And then I was like, no, they're not quite pets, because they're actually, you know, they're kind of lab, they're being experimented on, so they're kind of lab rats. Oh no, that was the first one, lab rats first, and then I was like, oh no, it's actually kind of pets, because, you know, these families of aliens kind of have a human that stays with them, and they're like, oh yeah, this is our human, and maybe they'll go off to a new family and be there, but for now, this is our human. And then I was really realizing, no, of course, it is a conservation project, and there's a few other uses for the humans as well, which I'm not going to get into here, but, you know, you're going, as you're reading it through, you're like, oh, what does it feel like to be a northern white rhino? and there's only five of you left on the world, and you have to kind of mate with your sister or a different species, you know, you're like, oh, okay, well, that would be an interesting situation. If rhinos could tell us what it's like to be an endangered species, and not just rhinos, like pandas and all of these other things that you just go, oh, okay, if these were intelligent enough to tell us how they're feeling about being a conservation project, that's kind of what this book is. It's about someone who is intelligent enough to realize that, you know, it is in the best interest of humans to become a conservation project. Otherwise, we would all be extinct. But then it's sort of like, okay, what is the price of not being extinct? It reminds me of this story that I can't remember. Is it the American condor? There was only like 70 of them left in the wild, and they're like, right, okay, we've got to save these. These are not going to do very well. So they captured all of the wild condors in North America. I think in the whole world, because that was only that's how many. And then they bred them all together and tried to get a bigger breeding stock, you know, a wide genetic variety. And they put them all together, and they're like, great, okay, now we can start releasing these condors back into the wild. It turns out the condors that they released back into the wild, there's more of them in the wild. They're still very highly endangered, but they're probably not going to go extinct. But they're not really condors anymore. The way that the condors used to act, they've kind of lost. There's been that disconnection. There's been that disconnect between old condors and their habits and the new condors, because they've all come from, you know, breeding stock. They've all been tame. Even though, like, oh, we're gonna try not to make them tame, and they're not gonna have very much contact with humans. But of course, it all happens, and now they just live differently in the wild. They are still wild animals, or now they are returned to the wild. So it's so that kind of thing is sort of like they've lost some condorness in themselves, which is I guess the kind of thing that's being struggled with by Lilith and the other humans in this book. It's sort of like, yeah, sure, we've got if we don't want to go extinct and we want to reestablish humans on Earth, we've got to put this work in, but like at what cost? And that's obviously that I think is even what it says here on the on the Goodreads page. Let's have a look. Lilith Eyapo awoke from a centuries-long sleep to find herself aboard the vast spaceship of the Uncali. They healed the planet, cured cancer, increased strength, but we're now ready to help Lilith lead her people back to Earth, but for a price. And it's like, dum dum dum, what is that price? Are condors no longer going to be fishing? Are they going to get their food out of rubbish dumps instead of whatever condors do? Don't even know. Fishing? Probably not fishing. Anyway, so that's the kind of setup of the book, and that's the story and the themes and stuff like that. However, there is this section, and I've talked about this before. There's a kind of like almost a genre of science fiction, which is it happens in two different kinds of books. One is the isolated from Earth new colony or colony ship kind of situation where you get together a group of people, and it's sort of like, ah, now the scientists are going to design a new society, and they put humans in there, and literally the thing is like, oh yeah, humans are bad news when it comes to trying to make a new society with a small group of people. There will be, you know, a manipulative woman, and there will be a rapey man, and there will be like the weak people who follow the strong people, and the good people with the good hearts. They need to do some stuff, but they've got good hearts, and they're not willing to do all the bad stuff that is necessary to put down the bad people and to rise up, you know, because they don't want to be a dictator. But then other people become, you know, it's that whole kind of like, oh, let's do a social experiment in an enclosed area. That happens on colony ships and new colonies and things. But it also happens in the subgenre of science fiction, which is now lots of humans have been captured by aliens, and the aliens are going to study how humans get on together. And you've got the not the Rendezvous with Rama, but the later Rama books do that, and there's many many other books as well. And I kind of get, and I think I've mentioned this a few times before. That's kind of played out. I'm kind of a bit annoyed by the way that goes. And that's actually the reason why I liked Aurora this year by Kim Stanley Robinson, because it kind of steered into that territory like four or five times throughout the course of the book. It's like, and now let's go over here and let's go. And then it would like do something weird. And I was like, whoa, that is different from all of the other books that have tried to do this in the past. Like, the good people are setting up a new society, but then, oh, humans are bad people, and there's this guy who used to be a criminal, or used to be a soldier, or used to be a cop, or used to be some big guy, and now he's taking over again, and they lose control, and like most of the people go over that people, and it's like, why are you following the bad person with it? You know, it's just happened time and time again in science fiction, and I realize maybe it's like an 80s thing or a 90s thing, and that's kind of what Kim Stanley Robinson's Aurora is kind of harking back to, kind of that same idea that even Kim Stanley Robinson did in his previous science fiction too, but it's always, it's just played out. And I've always said, oh, I read this story before. Not that I'm reading Dawn by Octavia Butler and I thought, oh, I've read this story before. But Dawn by Octavia Butler is exactly one of those template stories, those like stories of like, okay, let's set up a society. Oh, and the bad people start taking over and the rapey guy rapes someone and people defend him. And they're like, why is it? Oh, yes. And, you know, like, oh, and the men should take women as sex slaves. And it's just like, yes. And everyone accepts that. And I was I can only read that story so many times. And I feel like that's a little bit played out now in science fiction. Maybe we don't see it so much, and maybe that's why Kim Stanley Robinson wanted to have another go at it, another plug at it, but yeah, kind of done that. And this book, when it got to that section of this book, I was like, oh yeah, I definitely remember this part. And I even remember when I read this book in the 90s, I was already thinking, I've kind of seen this been done before, and even more so now, which is, it's not a complaint about this specific book, because the way it's done is okay, the writing is fine, the characters are okay. But it just plays out in a way that, you know, like, right, yeah, I've seen this before. Which is, like I say, that's why I find this book kind of unsatisfying as a project. What else have I got here in my notes? Also, another reason why this book was even kind of like weirdly more unsatisfying was that it was coming to the end. I was like, oh, I've got about an hour left of this book, and I had some time, and I was like, okay, because it's actually quite a short audiobook. It's like 9.5 hours long or whatever it is. Let me just look on my phone here. Yeah, 9 hours and 20 minutes. And I was thinking, okay. So I'd listened to it over the course of like 3 days or whatever. And I had some time in the evening, and I was like, oh, I've got an hour left of my book. And there was, I think, something on like a football game on TV. I turned the sound off on that, so that was kind of in the background, and I was just kind of laying in bed, and I was like, oh, I've got an hour left, I've got some time, let's just do this instead of doing some writing work that I had to do. Great procrastination as an audiobook thing, just sit here, and if I fall asleep, that's fine, an hour left. And I got like a half an hour into that listening session, and suddenly it was like, the end. We hope you've enjoyed this book. And I was like, whoa, 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 that's not enough time. And then it said, here is the next chapter, or the first chapter of the next part of the book. And I was like, oh, so I pressed pause because I don't want to do that. If I read the next book, I'll just get the audiobook or the ebook and just do it, no problem at all. So I don't need convincing to read the next book if I'm going to actually go on and read it. But it was one of those things that I was kind of still, even literally 2 minutes before the end of the story, I was like, right, there's still half an hour to really, you know, that I'm a bit unsatisfied now, but I wasn't even thinking of it at the end. And then suddenly it ended, and then it was more, there wasn't any more. And so it was kind of like a double disappointment at the end of this as well. Yeah, what else have I got to say? Alien tentacle rape. Well, it's one of those kind of books, I guess. Yeah, I think that's all I've got to say about this. Short episode, but it's a short book and mildly disappointing. So I'm going to... Oh, Audible ad. Here we go. audibletrial.com/SFBRP. You can get this book or loads of other really great, Audible Frontiers science fiction books. There's like 180,000 books in total, but loads and loads of really great science fiction and fantasy stuff. So if you want a free audiobook from audible.com, go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP and you can start a free trial and get an audiobook and also help support the podcast. So yeah, that's all I've got to say about this. The narrator was pretty good. What was the name of the narrator? Aldrich Barrett. Pretty good narrator. It fits the style of the main character. It was a good fit with the voice and the character and the way that she acted, which was good, but I don't really have anything much to say about it really. Pretty average, okay book. And so here on my Goodreads review, I guess I rated it... Oh, can't even see my own... can't see my own review. So maybe I didn't open that. Anyway, 2.5 stars. It's all it's worth. I know that people was... this is generally considered one of her Octavia E. Butler's better books, but I just remember her being a better writer or more interesting writer, but maybe this is just a bit, it just feels a bit dated now, like I say, with some of the themes and some of the like the story ideas as well. Some other people here on Goodreads, Terp Kristen rated it 4 stars, Alex Hamill 3 stars, Tom Rowe, 3 stars. Greg, 4 stars. Quite a lot of 5-star ratings, but then quite a few kind of middle ratings from my friends on Goodreads, which is, my friends on Goodreads is generally science fiction book review podcast listeners. So there you go, 2.5 stars. Read it. It's okay. It's kind of like totally average. I don't really have any complaints, except it just didn't really feel interesting for me. So yeah, you can email me, luke@juggler.net. Also become my friend on Goodreads, and I can also see what you think of the books that I read, and you can recommend books to me there, or by email, luke@juggler.net. I do reply to every email, or on the SFBRP listener group. You can see that I do get through quite a few of the books mentioned there recently, and yep, that's it. Next episode is probably going to be a Star Wars episode with me and Juliana talking about going to see Star Wars, because we're going to be doing that in 3 days' time. And then after that, I've got the final book in the Ancillary Justice trilogy. I can't remember the real name of that. Ancillary Mercy is what I'm on now, and I'll probably finish that tomorrow on my flight back to Europe, maybe. We'll see how it goes, or maybe I'll just watch movies. And yeah, that's it. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.